What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 366 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM with this is week. It's Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley is busy. He's got a deadline. He also didn't get his copy of Last of Us Part 2, even though it said it was delivered.
That's so sad.
Yeah, hopefully just got, you know, one of those misplaced things and not like someone straight up jacked it. But, you know, that's unfortunate. But yeah, we'll go ahead and jump into it. We've got a bit of news, basically follow-ups on a lot of stuff from the PS5 event. There's a lot of deals going on, and then we could probably maybe talk a little bit about Tealoo 2 since we're both playing it. We'll save that for the end just in case we talk spoilery. I don't know how far as I got, but we'll discuss that when we get there. But there are a lot of deals going on in the store right now. There's a Remasters and Retro sale that's up to 54% off, which is a really weird percentage. That ends on the 1st of July. So things like DMC, the HD collection, Resident Evil 2 Deluxe, Crash Insane Trilogy is, let's see how much that's, because that was just, I feel like that's 50% off. So you can get that for $20, which we'll talk about a rumored game, Crash game later. Crash Team Racing is still discounted 50%, which I should pick up because I still want to play it. And then, yeah, a lot of stuff, Bloodstained. Interesting, I guess because it's retro, it's not a remaster, but yeah, a lot of stuff in there. So if there's a lot of things you missed out on that have been remasters or just retro styles, you can pick them up. Again, a lot of deals there. And then there's a 75% sale on a lot of stuff, Far Cry 5, Tetris Effect, Greedfall is 65% off, Resident Evil 7 Gold Edition, Dragon Age Inquisition, Darksiders Genesis, Judgment, Life is Strange, Yakuza 6, Alien Isolation, bunch of stuff in there. Watch Dogs 2. That ends on the 24th, which is this coming Wednesday. So the podcast will be up before then. And there's also the games under $15, which I don't know when that ends. But that's obviously a lot of older stuff. So like Far Cry 3 Classic, Dark Souls 2, Skull of First Sins, Dead Island Definitive Edition, stuff like that. But yeah, definitely a lot of deals going on. Although I'm sure everybody's probably playing Tealoo 2 right now. So, but definitely check that out. But yeah, we'll go ahead and jump into the news. So we had a leak from, I want to say it was Amazon. Where was it? The Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee has rated the unannounced Crash Bandicoot 4 It's About Time. So basically it looks like there's going to be a Crash 4 for PS4 and Xbox One called It's About Time. It's got Crash on the cover. You see Coco in the background. Wait, is Coco his sister or is Coco?
Yes.
Okay, who's the quote unquote girlfriend character that's in the first one? Is she an actual character? I never remember. I don't think so. Remember the, like the bonus levels? There's like she's always standing there, and then in the remake, what's his face would come in and steal her away at the end of the bonus level.
I don't remember.
Yeah, she's like the hot blonde bandicoot that he would always see in the bonus levels. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I think that's his girlfriend or just his friend or something like that. But Coco's his little sister.
Okay. Yeah.
Or maybe Coco's her little sister.
I thought Coco was his, but yeah, who knows? But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Crash remaster obviously did extremely well, but I'm curious what this Crash 4 game is going to be. Is it going to stick to that side scrolling? Is it going to be, you know, 3D? What are they going to do? So we'll see. Yeah. And then we also had some, again, a lot of follow-ups to things shown at the PS5 event. So Insomniac did say that the female Lombax at the end of the trailer will be a playable character. So I'm wondering if it's going to be one of those Assassin's Creed Syndicate situations where like you're bouncing back and forth, like you're trying to fix the rifts, but because you're split apart, you know, Ratchet's trying to do on his end to get back to Clank, and then this female Lombax is on her end trying to fix problems or whatever. Like, I'm curious how that'll go. They also had a video talking a little bit more about the game and just how it, but again, some of these follow-up videos they had, especially for like Horizon and Ratchet, they're not really saying anything that you wouldn't expect. Like, they talk about the power of the PS5 and the SSD and how big the world's going to be in detail, but there's no real new information.
They don't actually talk about the game.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah. With the, new Ratchet and Clank were able to make the worlds feel really good. And with the haptic feedback from the controller, these weapons are going to feel awesome. You know, like this one, it does this and blah, blah. I'm like, this is how. The only one that was actually useful was that the Horizon Forbidden West dev commentary video did say that they're shooting for a 2021 release. Mm-hmm. So that gives us the time frame because we knew it wasn't launch. But I'm curious when they're released. Like right now, they're not sticking to a hard date because of COVID, so they're still working from home, mm-hmm. but they're making progress. I'd imagine they would like to get it out in Q1. I mean, that would be a great launch window game, especially like if the console launch. Yeah. Like if the console launches in November, which was to be expected, then release when at the end of February, like Horizon Zero Dawn did. Mm-hmm. You know? And then do that. That way you have people can play Spider-Man, they can play Bugsnax, they can play, you know, whatever else that at launch, and then come February they can play the new Horizon. But there was also, I think, some more confirmation about Miles Morales. There was a blog post, I believe, talking about how, you know, confirming the scope of the game and how, while it is smaller than the original Spider-Man, that it will, you know, they always refer to that Uncharted Lost Legacy size thing. So somewhere I saw an article that said something about 8 to 10 hours, but I don't know if that's people saying that's how long Lost Legacy was, but I did spend more than that amount of time in Lost Legacy because obviously you can do a lot of exploration, there's collectibles. So I'd imagine if you just stuck to the main story, maybe it would be pretty quick, but mm-hmm. like, and playing on easy or whatever. But if you're like still just like with the normal Spider-Man, if you're doing like street crimes or you're doing side quests or you're, you know, farming points to get new suits or whatever, if there's new suits, it could take a while. But again, I think this means that, because 2 years is a pretty good amount of time to kick out a full size sequel, but I'd imagine because I guess they had to rework their engine, they also didn't get brought into Sony as a first party until, you know, I want to say, what was it, last year or either early this year? I don't remember when they got acquired. But so who knows how much, information they had for the PlayStation 5 architecture. Like, I'd imagine they would be one of those. Like, obviously, the big publishers are, but Insomniac was, you know, independent. Mm-hmm. So obviously, like EA, and I'm sure they have some ideas of what they're looking at. But yeah, if they got maybe more resources being brought into the PlayStation family, it could be like they wouldn't be able to get a full sequel. But I think it would be really cool if they do the reverse thing of like Horizon, because Horizon came out in February and then the Frozen Wilds came out in October. So it'd be awesome if it was like this launches with Miles Morales in November, and then like in the summer or September of the next year is the proper Spider-Man 2. Like if they're, I can't imagine they're that big enough to do, because they're working on both Ratchet and this, but that'd be really cool if they were kind of working on them in tandem, especially if they build the groundwork for their PlayStation 5 tech with Miles Morales. And then again, just like we talked about the assets, now they already have the 4K assets and whatnot, and then have a quick turnaround on the proper Spider-Man. That would be really cool, because then that would be also, that'd really fit with the whole Marvel Spider-Man tag, because Marvel does that with all their movies. They release like 3 movies in a year. And then we've seen that with like movie sequels where they're like, oh, here's the first one, and the next year it's going to be the next one. So they're not that far apart. I feel like that'd be really cool. But it'd also be nice to have a first party studio kick out 3 games in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, like getting crazy support from their main studio just to make content for their new console.
Yeah. Because I imagine they have like the script. Even if it's just a spec script with the big story beats for, you know, Spider-Man 2, they already probably know what they're going to be doing. It's just, you know, getting it together. But yeah, that would be really cool to see. Yeah, okay, this is the same Ratchet and Clank, blah, blah, blah. So I haven't played Fortnite in a long time, obviously. They did have another event happen earlier this week. Where it was like the device event, and apparently it was so big that they reached 12 million people in game and they capped it for stability purposes, because I guess like that's kind of the ceiling for stability in Fortnite is 12 million players at the same time, and there's like 8.4 million people watching streams on YouTube and Twitch just to see the live event.
Holy shit.
So yeah, they seem to get bigger every time. And I mean, that's the one thing I always did like about Fortnite, and Apex kind of borrowed some of it as well, is that they would, as you got to the end of the season, the last couple of weeks, they would, like, I think at week 7, and there's usually 12 weeks in a Fortnite season, 10 to 12, sometimes they extend them, they would slowly start to tease, you know, what was coming, like the comet way back in season 1, 2 or whatever, maybe season 3, like, it showed up in the sky, and they got bigger and bigger, and then it led to the explosion, which was just a cinematic. But then later, after a couple seasons, they started doing like actual in-game events, which I thought was really cool. And I like that they do stuff like that. And Apex does it with the, like, leading up to the end of a season, they'll start teasing stuff. And then either, usually it's for a new legend, that's what they'll start teasing. And then they'll show a cinematic, or not a cinematic, but like a trailer just for the next season showing off the new legend. But yeah, so if you're playing Fortnite, you got to see that. That did affect the map. New season starts. Got the Jason Momoa Aquaman skin in there. But yeah, and then the other big thing this week was the EA Play Live event, which showed a bunch of stuff. So we saw that Skate is coming back for people who enjoy Skate. There is a Star Wars Squadrons game going to be coming out. It's apparently going to be the definitive Star Wars pilot experience. We'll have a single-player story mode. Let you play as a few different pilots in different scenarios, flying for both the Empire and the New Republic in a story just after Return of the Jedi. It also have a 5v5 multiplayer. 8 different ships will be playable. There's also going to be cross-play between console and PC, and also between Also between flat-screen play and VR. So I guess it'll have VR support. So but that comes out October 2nd. They also talked about Apex Legends. They showed off a trailer for the new event that's going to be happening called Lost Treasures. It starts on Tuesday. And what I like about the trailers too, not just for these like LTMs that they have, but usually if there's any balance patching or any changes to the game, you see it in these trailers. So it's like you're not just watching a trailer for like, oh, here's just one mode. It's like you're watching like, oh, did you see, like, Mirage is one of the legends who is getting a new heirloom, and an heirloom is like a melee weapon that's unique to the legend. So like Lifeline, her heirloom is drumsticks because she's, you know, I guess she's a drummer. And then it's who else? Oh, Pathfinder has like boxing gloves, and then Mirage, his is a trophy, which is really funny because that's his whole legend character, supposed to be kind of vain. As well as self-deprecating, but he's got a trophy, and that's he's just beating people with this trophy. It's really silly. So that's, people are excited about that. And you saw that in the trailer. Also, there's like a balance coming to Lifeline. That's going to be awesome. I'm really excited to see that new change to the way she revives. She's in kind of a weird spot right now. So I'm excited that that's happening, cause I'm a Lifeline main. So that's good to see. The LTM is also introducing mobile respawn beacons, which is only in the LTM, but they did say they will think about bringing it into the main game after the event's done. They've done that before. Like, they had an event where they introduced these Evo shields, which are like these low tier shields you'd wear that only had one bar of shield cell. And then as you did damage to other players, you would rank your shield up from white to blue to purple to red. And red would be a whole tier higher than purple, which is unique in the game. And then after that LTM, they brought it into the main game. So now Evo shields are all around. Not all around, but you can find them in loot. So it'll be interesting to see if these mobile respawn beacons end up coming. I always thought that would have been good for Lifeline as a buff, is just give her, like right now, one of her ultimate is just she calls down a supply drop. But they nerfed it way back when they didn't allow gold loot to spawn from it. So you couldn't get gold armor. That was a problem. Like, they got rid of gold armor, and I think you can't get gold backpacks either, but you can, I believe, get digital threats, which are just scopes, and maybe I don't think you can get gold shields, but they nerfed it and it was kind of a pain. And they're like, oh, they don't want people just feeding Lifeline a bunch of ultimate accelerants and spamming her ult and getting everybody gold shields. I'm like, okay, that's understandable. But I was like, yeah, that nerf kind of sucked, because then the cost benefit of using her ult, which gives away your position because this giant pod falls down from the sky and everybody can see it if they're close enough, you're not getting as good. You can still get purple body armor, but I always thought it would be really cool if she could have a remote respawn. So it's cool that they're doing it this way. It'll be interesting to see how well it works, but definitely looking forward to that. They also showed, they had Yosef Ferris from Hazelight on there. I like that they're really embracing his eccentric, you know, fuck the Oscars attitude. The video of him on there was really funny because they showed that clip there and he's cursing up a storm in the video. But he has a new game that they're working on. It's called It Takes Two. And that's going to be releasing sometime in 2021. It's a co-op action adventure platformer that will blow your fucking mind away, is what he says. So there's that. Also got a teaser trailer for something called Lost in Random, which is from Zoink Games. Let's see. A little girl befriends a little anthropomorphic die named Dicey. I didn't watch the trailer, but it'll be interesting. So that's coming out 2021. They did say also there's a lot of games coming to Switch. So Apex Legends is going to be coming to Switch in October, I believe, as well as crossplay, which is really cool. I like that crossplay was a big part of their event, and it's nice to see that all these big, you know, battle royales, like obviously Modern Warfare has it, Fortnite brought it in eventually, and now we see Apex. They didn't launch with it because the way, I think it's because of the way the Source engine works, they couldn't have it up and running network wise. And they talked about that before the game launched. So it's nice to see that they were able to get that patched in there. So that'd be cool. Hopefully it's still done the same. That's my problem. People always complain on Modern Warfare, like, yeah, you know, Apex game crossplay and Modern Warfare has, you know, but I always don't like getting matched up against PC players. And it's like, you could set it to be just against people who use controllers. Like, you can set the crossplay to input. So it's not just PC. It's like if people are using a controller on PC, then you match up against them. Just like on the way Fortnite does it, it's automatic. If you're using keyboard and mouse on console, then it automatically matches you up with other people using keyboard and mouse, which is traditionally PC players. The only time it doesn't work that way is if you are a console player matched up with a PC player who's also using a keyboard, then by default, you're matched up against PC keyboard players. Which is a problem I had in Fortnite, because it was like this one guy, random dudes sometimes we play with, and he was a PC player only. He didn't have an Xbox or a PS4. And so we would just get matched in these lobbies with all these, you know, keyboard and mouse users. And we could do okay, but it was like, when you got stomped, it was clear, like, yeah, the guy's obviously keyboard and mouse. But yeah, you just put it in your settings. So it's like, it's not going to be a big deal. You don't have to worry about playing against PC players, because just make it the input crossplay. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of stuff there. That's really cool. They also had this really ridiculous, like, next-gen trailer thing where they showed, like, this footage that's supposed to be from, you know, Dragon Age. It was not a really good trailer for teasing next-gen. Like, even the one from DICE, it's like just this white model viewer thing of these soldiers running. I'm like, this doesn't tell me anything about what they're going to do with Battlefield. Like, this is nothing. Like, this is really bad. I don't like this. Like, it was kind of a waste. But yeah, that was the big event. But yeah, other than that, I don't think there's anything else huge. I was trying to give another look and see if I missed anything. Cyberpunk got delayed. That's right. So that'll be coming out. So it got pushed from, I don't have the article in front of me, so I can't see. I think it got pushed 2 months. So yeah, instead of coming out in September, it's going to come out in November. They said they want to make sure they do a bunch of stuff. It's apparently playable front to end. They just got to, I guess, polish it more. Working from home has probably been a big problem. That game will, of course, work on PS5 and Xbox from the start, but they won't have a proper, like they'll have a basic, you know, the SSD clearly makes it easier for the game to load stuff, yada, yada. But they won't have a proper PS5, you know, patch for the game until 2021. So while we might get minor benefits, it won't be like, okay, here's like all 4K assets, or here's a 4K 30 mode, or a 1440p 60 frames mode with, you know, much better stuff. So we won't see that until later, which, you know, is unfortunate. But hey, hopefully the load times on the PS5 will be, make it a little easier. Reduce pop-in, perhaps. But so there's that. And then, yeah, I think that was it for the big news. I don't remember anything else. I know there was an event that was canceled. I think it was PAX. Some event that was canceled. Like, it was pretty far out, but they canceled it. They're like, yeah, we're just going to cancel this event. But, yeah. All right. Well, I guess we can just jump into what we've been playing. Prior to Tealu, I was playing, I finally got back in really heavy into Apex again. I was playing the ranked, and then it was funny, on Thursday night, I had team was in a random game in ranked, and then we got this win, and then the guys invited me to their party, and then their party chat, and their buddies, and we ended up playing like the rest of the night and got like four more wins. And then we're like, yeah, same, or this is on Wednesday. And then like, oh, same thing tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, well, tomorrow's when, you know, it's Thursday night. I'm like, this is when, you know, Tealu's going to come out. And I'm like, oh yeah. So then none of us played on Thursday. I'm like, of course, right when I find a new crew to run with in Apex, that's when Last was going out. So it was funny, cause they were all playing Last was right now, but I'm sure we'll finish it or by either this week or early next week or something. But, yeah, and then I start playing Last of Us. What about you? Have you? I know you're playing Last right now. Were you playing anything else prior to it that was new, or are you just the same?
Few things. I got the early access to Among Trees.
Oh, right.
So I was playing that, and I absolutely adore it. It's,
what's that game about?
It's basically like, I didn't get very far into it, but you're just like kind of in a forest, and you wake up and there's like a beat down little house. So you have to go collect materials to upgrade your little house. It's like just like a little like calm survival game. I think there is fishing. I haven't got there yet. Just because I've been exploring so much. But I think there's eventually supposed to be like farming, and you're eventually supposed to be able to like hunt animals. I don't have anything to actually hunt the animals with. And the only aggressive thing I've run into is a bear, which decimated me. So that was bad because I didn't have the ability to craft health items when it punched me in the face.
Oof.
So that was bad. But it's just kind of like, I know that there's going to be more stuff later on because it is in early access right now. I mean, I found trees that I can't even harvest yet because it literally said they're not available in the game yet. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll leave. I've wandered too far, I guess. But yeah, it's just like a really calm, really pretty survival, just kind of exploring, gathering materials game. And it's so like, the sound design is so nice. It's just very, there's not really music, but there's a lot of forest noises, and you can hear the water from really far away, so you know when you're near a river or a lake or something. It's just very calm and nice, and it's a good, like, turn off your brain and just kind of wander around and enjoy the prettiness thing. And then the only thing you have to worry about is, I've only found one bear so far, so I don't know if there's more bears, but you just have to be careful to, like, make sure you're paying attention to where you're going or what you're doing, and if you're near like a cave, that's usually where I found the first bear. So, but it's really nice, and I'm actually really looking forward to a lot of the stuff that they implement later, because you can already upgrade the little cabin to a pretty substantial state. So I'm really excited to see like what kind of customizations they're going to add, if they're going to add any more rooms, or if you're going to be able to upgrade it to the point of being like an actual house and not just kind of a middle of the woods cabin. But yeah, it's just super pretty and super nice. And I got it for $7 because I had Epic Store credit apparently. And it was the best $7 I've spent so far.
You said bears. Are there any other kind of predators in the game, like mountain lions or anything?
I haven't run into any, and I haven't seen anybody talking about them, so I don't know if maybe they just haven't been implemented yet, or... Yeah, maybe they just haven't been implemented yet, because the only animals that I've run into is the bear, some bunnies, and a deer, like a big buck I saw kind of wandering around, and it was by the river. So that's the only stuff that I've run into so far. Oh, and birds, of course. So they're probably going to add more later on if they add some kind of like hunting or other combat mechanics or anything like that. Because I think right now you can't actually craft like a weapon. Maybe I just haven't found it yet, like a bow or a sword or, you know, anything like that. You can only really craft like an axe and a pickaxe and stuff like that. So they're probably going to add some kind of hunting mechanic where you have to go out and get like pelts or meat and stuff like that, because there is like cooking and a hunger mechanic and stuff like that. But right now I'm just kind of eating mushrooms all the time. So
is it first person or third person?
It's first person.
Okay, cool.
They might add third person later on, because there are clothes that you can make. And I know the clothes have like stats on them as far as like keeping you warm or keeping you cool and stuff like that, but they all are supposed to look different. And that's kind of where the early access comes in, is when you go to craft the clothes, there's not even preview images for the clothes yet. They haven't added those in. So I'm thinking they're probably going to add a third person aspect or some other way that you can see your character, because otherwise there would be no need for like preview images and stuff like that. You would just craft the clothes for the stats and wear them. But yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see what they add, because it's so pretty and it's so fun.
Is there like a story to it? Like, did you get lost there? Did you crash
there in a plane or something? You just wake up in the forest. There's no explanation or anything like that. You're just like, okay, I live here now, I guess. And you spawn fairly close to the cabin. So you kind of wander around a little bit. You're like picking up sticks and stuff, thinking you're going to need to make a campfire or whatever. And then you stumble across the cabin, and then you repair the main room of the cabin. And that's where you like sleep and keep warm and stuff like that.
It doesn't have like a spooky vibe. It's just very relaxed kind of game.
Yeah. No kind of spookiness. I mean, it's a little bit tense when you first start, just because you don't know like where you are or what's going on or anything like that. And it doesn't, you spawn literally by waking up and looking at the sky, so you're like, oh god, did I like pass out, or was I dragged here or something like that. And then when you get near like a bear den or something like that, the music, the background ambience gets kind of like a little tense, and you have to like sneak around and stuff like that, so it's a little tense there. But it's not, there's no like weird spooky vibe or anything like that. It's just really calming.
Yeah, I when you had mentioned that game, I was wondering like if it was going to be kind of like a spooky game or just a basic survival game. It's like an indie title, right? That's only going to be on PC for right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because like I said, it's in early access right now. So I imagine even if they do eventually port it to console, it's going to be dependent on how much support they get. And it's probably not going to come to console until it's in the 1.0 version or beyond. It's not even in like beta right now. When you load up the game, there's a note at the top that says it's in like certain number alpha or something like that. So like I said, there's stuff that you can find in the game that you can't harvest, because the items that you harvest from it aren't implemented in the game yet. So they still have a lot of work to do. But there's literally a button in the game that you push while you're playing to submit feedback and like notes and bug reports and stuff like that. And from what I see on the forums, there's a lot of interaction and there's a lot of like confirmation that they're receiving everybody's feedback and everything like that. So it seems like they're really interested in working with the community and building up the game to what everybody wants it to be.
Yeah. That reminded me of Project Winter. Not that it's the same kind of genre, but it made me think about that, where it's another indie game that's on PC that I really want to play, that is supposed to get a port to Xbox and PlayStation at some point. It's on their roadmap, and I'm looking at their roadmap right now online, where they have, you know, to exit early access, they did all that, they're out of it, so post 1.0 they have like all this check, this big old list, and they have a lot of it checked off. The only thing that I'm missing is new maps, new items, and then I have release on other digital stores, so Epic Game Store probably, and yada yada. But then they have port to PC and Xbox at the bottom, so I'm hoping that happens soon, because that's not that this is rival, same kind of game as you're playing, but it's just a game I was thinking about. I was like, man, I want that game to come to console. It'd be so easy. Yeah, hopefully that happens. But speaking of games, smaller games like that, I saw this trailer for something called Tribes of Midgard. I was like, it's kind of like
a look that up. I totally forgot.
Isometric view, kind of like, oh my gosh, Don't Starve, kind of like that, except actual 3D characters and stuff. And you like fight, a tribe of Vikings, I guess, and you're fighting like these monsters and stuff, and you build like a village and everything to kind of survive. And it's very not cutesy art style, but very simple little art style. And I was like, man, this seems like Izzy, keeps wanting to play co-op games. Like, this looks like a co-op game that Izzy would be like, we should play this because it's Midgard. I don't remember when that comes out. Let's see, Tribes of Midgard. It's a survival game.
Just says 2021 on Steam.
Yeah, I see an initial release date was the 26th apparently of July, but who knows if that's gonna happen. But it's gonna be
super cute.
Yeah, the trailer for it looks interesting.
Wish list.
But
I need to open Steam.
Yeah. That's another thing too about the EA Play is that they're bringing all their stuff over to Steam later in the year. So it's like, it's interesting to see that they're just like, oh yeah, I guess we'll just bring everything over to Steam now and not just lock it behind our awful Origin.
Oh my God. Are they going to get rid of Origin? Please get rid of Origin.
I don't think they're going to get rid of it. I think they're going to keep it. They're just going to allow it to be on other storefronts, at Steam specifically. And then of course you didn't start playing Tilu until yesterday after you picked up later in the afternoon, right? And how far did you get? Like, have you left Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, so you're on, they call it Seattle Day One is what they call it. Okay.
That's where I'm at.
So you're still playing Seattle Day One.
Yeah. Basically got there and did a couple things. And then I was like, it was getting kind of late and I was getting sleepy and stressed out. So I was like, maybe I should just take a shower and go to bed and I'll deal with it tomorrow.
Yeah, let me see. Because I think I want to see upload to storage. Because I'm on, Last of Us Part 2. Oh, they don't say it in the thing. Because I think the way they name my save, because I'm on day 2. But it feels like it should be day 3 because, like, anytime a character goes to sleep in a game, I always assume it's the next day. And it's like, and there's a point where, like, the character, like, falls asleep. And then I'm like, okay, so when they woke up, like, clearly it's day 3, but the game didn't say day 3. But when I went to go save it, like, on the save game, it says, like, the day, whatever, colon, like, chapter title. Which they don't give you in the front end. Like, if they, it'd be like if they called, in Tilu 1, Winter was called, the Cannibals or something like that for David. Like,
yeah.
So I'm in one. It's like, it still says Seattle Day 2 title. And I'm like, shouldn't this be like day 3 by now? Like, I feel like it's so
I've
weird.
I've slept like 4 times. Isn't
I'm like,
the next day yet?
Yeah, I want to see. Yeah, I'm still in day 2. Like, I feel like the game should technically be in day 3. Like, this is a long day. Like, I guess they just took a nap and it was they didn't really like go to sleep all night long, but it's day 2. It's funny cuz even when you say continue, like, they don't call it, Seattle Day 2. They call it by the title of whatever that day is. So I do like how the save says the difficulty you're on, but also says the collectibles you've gotten. It says how long you've been playing. So I've been playing for 10 hours and 20 minutes, apparently, with 93 collectibles. But I don't know how many that is. So you've been up to Seattle day one, just in that first initial kind of like the first open area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where it gives you like the map of the streets and stuff.
Yeah.
So let's see. So right now we'll get into some light spoil. We'll get into some, I know the game just came out, but we're only going to talk about essentially up to the open area after leaving Jackson, which is like maybe 3 hours into the game, if that. I mean, you can do it probably an hour and a half, 2 hours. Like, it's not that long. So anybody who picked it up on Friday probably has gotten there now. But we'll just go ahead and say spoiler warning right now. So spoiler warning that, you know, 35 minutes for this. But so what I like about that area is, you know, we had speculated a lot about how, you know, they kept talking about this wide linear and how it'd be kind of more, I got to close this because the fan on my PS4 is just going crazy. And I don't want to be picked up on the mic, is how it's going to be kind of this wide linear, like Lost Legacy. And I was wondering, like, okay, well, in my head, I was thinking like, you kind of have to run around and explore. And I was like, I don't really like that idea. Like, you know, they talk about how you can miss enemies or miss items entirely, like depending on what path you go on. But the way they do it, at least in, you know, it's like East Seattle, wherever you are in that first section, and they have the map, it's like, okay, here's a map of what the city looked like. So you can see where all the buildings are. And once you get close enough to them, you can see like, oh, there's some rubble I can crawl underneath. Okay, then it marks on the map. Or you can find notes that say stuff like, the whole reason you're there is because you're looking for, you know, the gas. It's like, oh, we got to get gas for this fence. Oh, well, they said there's gas at the dome and some of the courthouse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you get close to those buildings, she marks on her map saying, okay, this is the dome and this is the courthouse. So you know, like, this is where the objectives are. But you can find notes later. It's like, oh, you know, the WLF had a stash over here, you know, and it's like, and it marks it on the map. And then I also like that after I had explored a lot, I was like, okay, I guess there's nothing else to do. So I went and did, like, basically last place I went to was the courthouse. And once I got inside the courthouse, it gave me a trophy for, hey, explore everything in East Seattle. So I'm like, oh, that's nice that it told me I did everything that way. Because even though when you get out of that location, like, you can still explore because you're still in the open world, you know, quote, unquote, open world. But it was nice to know that I'm done and I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, and I usually like when, like she'll also like scratch stuff off of the map, like when you explore something. Mm-hmm. But I wish, and sometimes they go, okay, well, we're done here. Like, she'll say we're done here, and then I don't know if that just means that's just what they say because they're done, or did I actually grab all the items I could pick up? Because I don't think they would include like any, you know, ingredients or the components you pick up to craft better weapons. I don't think they'd, if I missed that, they probably wouldn't say like, oh, I guess we're done here. They'd probably just be like, they'd say it anyways. But also there was from the trailers, you know, they're talking about the rope and using a rope to get around. I was like, oh, so am I going to carry around a rope? And it's like, no, it's just these ropes that are in certain locations. And then
yeah, they're just around.
Like, there's a building in, like, there's a puzzle in day two where it involves a rope. And it's just, like, it's to get into, like, a locked room. And I really liked the way the puzzle worked because I was like, I feel like this is what I should be doing. And I tried it. I was like, it works. And I was like, okay. But I like some of that stuff. I love, and man. Like, we're going to get into heavy spoilers here, obviously. getting to scenes that were in the trailers that are entirely different people in place of who you thought was there or who they, like, they went to Hideo Kojima levels of marketing with this game and being like, oh, it's all in the tanker with Solid Snake. Like, again, spoilers, like, if you played the first hour, like, Joel dies.
Yeah,
like, straight up. And I was like, the marketing, they did it to make you think it's Dina. Like, the way they cut it, like, Dina, where are you? She's in the snow, coming up on the cabin, going downstairs, panicking, you know, leaving Jackson, you know. And then the scene when she gets grabbed and she's like, what are you doing here? He's like, you think I let this dude I'd let you do this on your own, and it's Joel. It's like, but, and then that scene happens and it's not Joel. And I'm like, and obviously it's way later, you know, it can't be Joel because he's gone. But it's like once, because when Abby is like, do you think he's there? I'm like, who are they looking for? I was like, they're looking, okay, it could be Joel. You know, could be the, and then like when they find her, and that was crazy. Like, I didn't expect you to play as her so quick, but you play as her super fast. Mm-hmm. And then that's also, she's the first one you run into the runners with, right? In the snow.
Yep.
And that, yes, the first one. That's the one you said scared you. She's like,
spoilers.
Yeah, she falls down.
Yeah, you go into that area and she's like, oh, there's a zombie, right? There's, you know, a runner right here or whatever. And she, you know, is it dead? I'm like, well, it's in the snow. Of course it's dead. And then you turn the camera around and there's like a bunch of them laying in the snow. I'm like, oh, good. They're going to grab my feet. It's totally going to happen. And so I'm walking through like really careful not to get near any of them. And I'm like, okay, I got through that. Maybe this is what they were talking about. If you're really careful, you can avoid certain situations. And then she slides down and gets her foot grabbed. And I screamed. I was like, okay, this sucks. I'm happy now.
But yeah, when she gets chased by that horde and then Joel and Tommy save her, I was like, man, she's really kind of giving like the side eye. I was like, and then of course,
oh, I knew immediately who she
was. Yeah, I was like,
I thought
like,
they were fireflies, to be honest. That's what I thought it was. And I was like, they're totally looking for Joel because these people are fireflies.
Well, it was funny too, because like it still all felt like it was going to be Dina that was going to get killed, because she talked about how, oh, they have an outpost cabin over here. So I'm like, okay, that's where Dina and Ellie are going to end up when they're done on their route. It's like, they're going to be there, but they end up in the, which is funny, because in that scene when they're smoking weed and she's asking about the kiss in the trailers, totally different location. Like it's with like a snowy, like backdrop to make it look like that could be the cabin that, you know, Ellie ends up going back to when she's looking for Dina. But no, it's in the basement with all the weed. They just don't put the weed in the trailer because drugs. I guess, even though they're smoking weed in the trailer, I believe. But yeah, like just the, and then, you know, I'm like, okay, this is, she's going to come up on them when they're, you know, making out in their underwear. That's what's going to happen. She's going to show up there. This is it, like, maybe she'll go out to like, I'm going to check on the horses or something, or check on the blizzard. Like, cause they, she says like, we'll go interrogate them for information. And I thought that's what it'd be like, okay, they're going to interrogate Dina for info on the town. And that's kind of going to be what happens. And then, you know, Ellie goes on this rampage and then Joel later shows up to help her out or something. And I thought if he was going to die in this game, like I thought, okay, that would make sense if he does die, because, you know, maybe they're looking for him. They kill Dina now, you know, or they injure her in some way. And then there's something else I want to say, but I knew it was going to happen because of like PlayStation Experience 2017, which was a year after they announced the game. Someone said something in a thing and I'm like, and then once they start playing it, I'm like, I know exactly who this thing they said is going to happen to, which I won't go into, just, I don't want to spoil anything. It's not spoilery, especially if you like, cause that's the problem with me. Like when I watch preview coverage or interviews, like I remember everything. And so that's usually why I hate watching trailers, is because unless I just watch, like I usually just watch the teaser. Like I'll still remember the teaser when I go to watch the movie, but as long as I don't have everything, the whole story under wraps, I'll be fine there. I won't think about it. But when I was playing, this is like, oh, well, they said in the interview, yada, yada. I was like, okay, well, this is going to be this. Again, it wasn't a big deal. It doesn't really matter, but I thought that would be kind of something else that could happen to spur the story along. Anyway. But yeah, man, when they get to the house, I'm like, oh God, this is exactly what's going to happen now. And I'm like, this, because this is that dumb cabin that she's going to walk up on, especially after the snowstorm where she's like, Dina, where are you? And she finds Dina. I was like, okay, they cut the trailers really well. Like they sold the fact that, you know, oh, he's totally going to be in later in the game. But yeah.
I know, like that? I avoided, it's one of those games where I was like, I know I'm going to play it. I know I want to be completely surprised by everything. I don't want to have any prior knowledge of it whatsoever. I want to have my own speculations and everything like that. So I intentionally avoided everything about it. Apparently I didn't need to, because it's all fake anyway.
Yeah. I just love that the trailers are so funny. Like a lot of, they still happen the way they happen. It's just in a lot of those scenes, like there's dialogue in there where like someone says, I was like, I want to like go something like, I forget what the line is, but it's something like, I want to help, but I don't want to go too far. So I'm like, I forget what it is, but it makes it sound like it's coming from this, that character, Jesse, but it doesn't come from him. It comes from one of the people at the WLF. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like they're repurposing dialogue or having other people record it or changing the character model slightly. Like there it's crazy that they're, I'd love it though. I'm like, it's so Hideo. And it's like, it's so good.
It's like they gave story beats without spoiling the story.
Right. And they even said like, yeah, we're not giving away much. Like you just sell it lightly that Dean is going to die, which I'm glad she didn't. Cause I was like, why are they marketing? Like Shannon Woodward is like way too in, like I like Shannon Woodward because she does Dina, but she's like she's way more involved in a lot of their behind the scenes stuff. And like I'm like, how much is she going to be in this game? and then it's like there's no way that they're just going to cut her out. And it's like in all the stuff they show, like when Ellie runs around in Seattle in the trailers, it's just her, but it's not just her. Like Dina's there, and like it's I'm like, man, this is so good. Like even scenes they show. Like they just cut them in certain ways or they show certain stuff where it's like they're the characters aren't talking to each other or after she's done doing whatever she does in the trailer, then she communicates or they just cut that dialogue out altogether. Like it's crazy. I'm like, man, people had talked about the reviewers talked about the restrictions they had on what they could show and what they could talk about. And I was like, man, I can't imagine how difficult it would be to have to be so vague and make sure you don't show Dina is alive or that Joel is dead. Mm-hmm. It's like, that is nuts. I was like, that'd be so hard. That's why I can't wait to listen to like spoiler cast. Cause I know a lot of people like talking around reviews who like really like the game. It's like, they're dancing so hard. And I'm like, good God, the restrictions there has got to be insane.
I cannot wait for people to start releasing their reaction compilations because I don't think my eyes and my mouth have ever been so fucking wide and I want to see other people react to it too.
Yeah, I went back and I watched like there's like a streamer I watched, she started and I watched her play it and I just like skipped that part and then but because it's like it's so tense leading up like you know it's coming. It's like, oh man. But then, yeah, when it happens and then, I watch another streamer and then I watch like a couple, but not like full on reactions. The thing too, is like it, because it has that long lead, it's not quite like the reactions from the first one were like when Sam dies, when he gets turned and then his brother, when he kills himself, like that's like instantaneous. And it's like, those reactions are like so nuts, like to see that happen because it's so instant. But yeah, definitely watching it lead up like, or the people that did watch trailers like, oh, this is that scene. We thought it was going to be so-and-so, but it's not. It's Joel. And it's like they, because they've seen the trailers. But yeah, it's, man, I want to talk more about it too, but you're not, that's fine. It's not, it's like, man, I want to talk about, because I'm trying to remember when, because I think, yeah, because you said you aren't too far.
I've been to one location on day one. I went to the Dome, and that's the only like main area location I've been to.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There's just story wise, like within day one, there's like something that happens from a gameplay standpoint, but I don't remember where it happens because there's two of them I've seen so far. Again, I don't want to spoil them. I'm just trying to remember, like, I'm trying to remember how quickly you're going to get to the first one. And I don't remember when it happens. And that's annoying. Cause I know when the second one happens. Cause it's like, right. It's in day two technically. So I guess it's, I guess the first one happens right before day one ends. That's right. So before you end day one, that's when it happens. And day one's relatively short. Or maybe I think that's where it is. It's right there at the end of that one. But yeah, cause there's some stuff I want to talk about and I'll save for next time. Well, who knows? We'll probably be done by next time, but
yeah,
but yeah, I love yeah, the game's real good. I really enjoy the combat. Man, I guess I don't use melee weapons at all, because the only thing you can do with like the binding and scissors is just craft melee weapon upgrades, and you don't use them for anything else, because you don't get the you don't get that shrapnel bomb from the first one, which is what used a lot of the scissors. So I'm like,
I thought that's what you had gotten when you said you got stuff for the scissors.
No, it was like, because I looked up, I'm like, I'm all Last of Us grenades, Last of Us this, and I was trying to figure out like craftables, like no one, like I could only find weapon lists, and I'm like, I don't want weapon lists, like I want to know what the hell I could use these scissors for, man. Because like I do like the idea that it's not, it's no longer the, you put scissors on a baseball bat and you make it, you know, have two more hit points and then it's stronger or whatever, it can like one shot certain enemies. It's like now it's, oh, it just fixes, it refills the health of your melee weapon, which is a cool idea. The problem I had was that anytime I was like, okay, the way I'm going to use this is when I get down to one, I'll, you know, upgrade the melee weapon to go back to full. But a lot of the melee ones I pick up, like if when I'd use them, it's like three hits to kill someone and then I'd have the one and the weapon breaks. So I'm like, I just never use this, the freaking scissors. And I'm like, come on. And I think duct tape, what is duct tape? I think it's, even though it's not duct tape, it's because she picks up like other bindings, but this is the logo. It's used for something else, but whatever it is, it's rare. Like, I feel like I'm constantly using the same stuff, the alcohol, the rags, the bottles. And then what's the explosive. So anytime I cap up on the explosives, I'll make like one explosive weapon. But I feel like there's some stretches like I'm capped on alcohol. So I'm like, I just have max Molotovs and health kits. I'm like, well, this doesn't help, because now I have too much. So I try to use Molotovs more often. But yeah, I mean, the game is really good looking. Really great looking game.
It's gorgeous.
I saw someone post a comparison between Seattle IRL and Seattle in game, and that was kind of fun. But it's kind of a long video, and it's not like one of those quick side by sides where they swipe, like they too much lead time showing you, like, here's what Seattle looks like and here's what the game looks like, and then a side by side. It's like, maybe make it a little faster. But I want to watch the Digital Foundry video, but they have, like, if you watch that, you're like, you spoil the, you know, the fact that Dean is alive, like, immediately almost. But I know that I want to watch that just because they talk about it all, but I'm probably gonna play a little bit more, because I think they do show like one character, not that he's a spoiler, because I've seen him in the the trailers, but I just don't want to see too much ahead of where I'm at. But yeah, there's a man. Yeah, it's real fun. I'm curious, because they have like these different upgrade trees for Ellie that you can unlock as you find these like survival manuals. I'm curious how many there's going to be, because at first I was like, oh, there's only going to be like, you know, there's the first two and then you get a manual for the next one. I'm like, okay, how many of these are gonna, can you pick up? Because they did say you can't cap out in one playthrough. So I thought like, oh, it's only going to be three tiers. And it's like, oh, and then here's another one. And I'm like, okay, well, I wonder how many there's going to be. Because like there's the stealth one's the first one you find. And then later you find one for, I forget what it is, some other thing. But or at least you can find it. You can totally miss it if you don't explore. But yeah, man, when Joel died, I was like I've teared up in like the first game, like like the scene in the cabin when she's yelling at Joel and he's like, you're not my daughter. Like that always gets me. When his daughter dies, that always makes me tear up. But man, when it was like when Joel died, I was like, I was gone. I was like, I'm a broken man. I was like, I'm just like, I was tearing up. So I was like, upstairs neighbors were like, what the hell is like some lady crying downstairs? Like, no, man,
I was in shock. Like, it didn't hit me until she was like standing over the grave and then I lost it, but I was just like, I don't even think I took a breath for like a full ass minute. I was just like, it's so early, it's so early.
Yeah, Yeah, when you got like when she has that, there's like that ringing that just drowns out the sound because she's so angry and sad. You like get that IRL, right? Is that that shock?
What the fuck? Like the second that the camera panned from him and you see the gun, I was like, there's no fucking way. Like my mouth was open, my eyes were wide, and that's how it remained for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was like.
And now I'm in this like. I'm already in agony over the story because I wanted so bad for Joel to reveal to Ellie that he was lying at the end of the first game. I wanted that moment to see them interact and happen. And he admits like that he did that and they have this interaction and stuff. Like I knew they were gonna kill Joel. I just knew it in my heart, but I wanted it to be later, and I wanted them to have that like moment where she just either loses her shit or she just says like, yeah, I know that you lied to me, but there was nothing I could do about it. You know, I just wanted that resolution, and now I'm already in agony because she's like, Ellie's going on this like quest to avenge him, and I'm like, you don't understand.
Yeah, and like Tommy knows too, so it's like,
yeah.
And I like when she tries to tell Dina, but Dina's like, "Don't lie, I told you a real story." Like, Budget doesn't believe her. Mm-hmm. Also, I was wondering why that her when they showed like her arm in the previous stuff, like it's weird because the tattoo looks odd over her arm. It's like because it doesn't look like her arm, her skin doesn't look like the bite that it was in the other one. I was like, maybe it's just a next gen thing. They just tweaked it. But then later she says that she chemical burnt herself on purpose to cover up the bite marks. I was like, okay, that's why it looks so different. Cause it looked more like a burn. I was like, this doesn't look like the bite anymore. And I was like, this looks like, you know, second, third degree burn kind of stuff.
I thought maybe it had like mutated, like she wasn't immune, but it was affecting her differently. So I thought it was just like the progression of the bite, and it was just taking years and years and years to change or whatever, or that she was actually not immune, but it takes longer for her, like rather than a few days or a week or something, it probably takes like 10 years for it to actually affect her. So that's
what or like that was. Or like the way skin heals, like she just didn't heal naturally over it. Instead, it's just like, okay, it's going to heal all funky because of the...
Yeah, like it's trying to turn her and turn her into a clicker or something, but her body's like fighting it, so it just mutated all weird. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Man, the woodworking in Joel's house too. I'm like, that dude,
he's going to town with that. Nice. Why is Ellie in the fucking garage?
I think that's just she likes a kind of isolation, I guess. I don't know. Like it's who knows, but
yeah, maybe he made like because I was like, oh look, her couch is really cute, she's got a little cute little table, maybe like Joel made it for her. But yeah, you go into Joel's house, I'm like, why does Joel live in a house and Ellie lives in a garage? Like,
yeah, but yeah, there's a yeah the and the facial capture, the mocap stuff is real good. Mm-hmm. It's just the expressions are so good, acting so phenomenal.
They look like humans. They react like, then they talk like humans. They didn't sound like the over-exaggerated facial and like movements and stuff like that. Everything's subtle, so they look real.
Yeah, the performance on the couch when they're smoking the weed and they're having that conversation, like, you know, how would you rate our kiss? And then I love when she's like, yeah, Dina's like, oh, 6. It reminded me of Uncharted when Elena died, or they thought she died. And you're like, how scared are you? You know, you're like, yeah, I think he says a 6. And she goes, a 6? And like, he's what's a 10? No, clowns. I hate clowns. And then Ellie's reaction to the 6, and wow, 6. Like, she's like, you know, this. But then when they slowly start doing that lean in, and then when Dina's like, this better be better than a 6. Like, but the way she delivers that line, how it's so quiet, like it just, it's performed really well. And then like another scene I love the acting is when she first goes to find Dina. And she's playing, you know, snowball fight with the kids. And then when Ellie gets pelted with the snowball, she's like, oh, what the fuck? I'm not even playing. And then like that reaction there. And then the whole, you want to fuck him up? And then they look around. Like, I love that whole performance. Like it's so good.
It really hit me when she's in the room talking with Joel after he gives her, or before he gives her the guitar or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what he says, but it pans back to Ellie and she like makes a face like a that was dumb or that was
it,
weird.
It was
face.
The joke.
Yeah, makes like the face, and I was just like, oh my god, she made the face and it didn't look weird. Like that's when it hit me, like how good the facial capture was. I was like, you can see like she makes an expression and it doesn't look odd or off or anything like that. And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, there's a moment later in the game where like, you know, in Death Stranding when like you can take Sam and have him look into the mirror and you can make faces.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a moment where you could do that. And if you remember, there's a tech demo where they talked about moving facial geometry, like the skin over a skeleton. They're kind of showcasing that by making Ellie make all these funky faces. Like mm-hmm. you can essentially look in the mirror and do those faces. Like if you hit up, it's like a smile, hit down, it's like a frown, and left and right, it's like silly faces. Oh. And it reminds me of, but you can rotate the stick and kind of move them all. So it looks crazy to see it moving because it's in game. It's not an in-engine cutscene. So it's like they don't have that extra focus horsepower. It's like it just seeing it happen like that is really cool. And then I like sometimes the only thing I don't like, and it's not just this game, like it's any game where you are following a character and that character's talking to you and you're by nature, the game makes you walk behind them, like back into the left or the right. But when they're walking, the character talking to you is like turning their head like in an angle that's totally not comfortable. I'm like, just keep them looking ahead. They don't have to look at me until I get like maybe up and past them. Then they can turn their head and look. Like, don't have them walk forward, but turn their head around, or have them walk awkwardly sideways or backwards. Like, just make them walk forward. And if I stop as a character, have them turn around and look at me like, you know, Ellie, what are you doing? Like, get out. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, and like they'll start walking backwards. I'm like, don't walk backwards. Just fucking go. We have somewhere to be. Come on.
Yeah. And there's also a scene in the town when you're walking with Jesse and like you find the dog, you can pet him. There's a guy playing banjo in a chair, and I think that's modeled after Gustavo. I'm blanking on that. The guy who does the music. It kind of looks like him, and I don't take it for a fact, but it looks almost like that could be him. I was like, I'm wondering if that is. I'd have to pull up an actual picture and go back to it. But there's this part, man. Sometimes the checkpoint system can bug me. There's this part where like I totally biffed like this. There's a building that had these clickers and runners in it, and I had to get into it, but you had to like break a window in order to get in. So I'm like, okay, this is going to alert them. And I killed them all, but I kind of like wasted some ammo. It's a Molotov. So I wanted to restart the encounter, but there's no restart encounter because it only exists for like isolated story beats, I guess, like where you enter in a new area and there's all these, you know, WLF or clickers or monsters. Yeah. But like when it's like clearly a checkpoint area, it's like, this is just an open world spot. So when I went restart checkpoint, none of the monsters were there, which only bugged me because when I killed one of the clickers, like they dropped a note and then I just restarted, but there was a note on a table inside. So I think maybe that's the way they fix it. Is that like, oh, well, instead of finding out on the person who turned, you just find it on the table now. Like cause I never picked it up. So it didn't like save it for me. So that was weird. And then there was this one instance where, again, I talk about in Discord where it was one of those scares. Like I panic hit the pause button. I was like, oh my God. And then, like, I got so scared where I wish I could replay that section. Cause I was like, it's one of those, it's like a location where you can approach it in different ways. Like you got the front door, there's a basement. You can like on the backside of the building, you, like crawl down this little tiny window to go into the basement and go upstairs and open a door. And like, I went through this other route. So I'm wondering, like, if I approach this building in a different manner, would that same like scary thing happen or would it be different? Like, I wish I could, I doubt it is. I don't think it is effective like that. I think it's more like, cause like it's just the nature of the building, or like the interior stuff, I guess. I don't need to talk about it cause we kind of spoil it. I'll wait till after that happens and then I'll go back and talk about it once you get there.
You'll hear me in Discord. I'll be like, okay, I'm done with this game.
Yeah, but
I'm not playing anymore. My goal is to play it now. Like,
God damn it. Yeah, I wish I could like relate it to like, it would be like this in this game, but that would like totally give it away too. But again, I can't wait.
I'm telling you, even if you told me exactly where it was and what happened, it would still scare the shit out of me, because
yeah,
I'm like tense the whole time now. I start up the game and I'm just like gripping my controller, like I'm stressed out.
Yeah, I just got to the first section in the game where I've been like, I'm actively worried. Like, I'm like, okay, this area has me concerned because it's way too quiet. But I don't think there's any, I don't see any spores, which usually tells you there's going to be enemies around. I usually can hear them pretty easily. But it's like, it reminds me of that like basement hotel section in the first one when you have to start the generator. It's kind of like that creepiness. So I'm like, that's where I stopped last night. I'm like, okay, I got to quit because it's like a few minutes after midnight and it's kind of creepy. Anyways, yeah, I'd keep talking about it, but I know you got a heart out. So we'll cut it there. And hopefully Isley will get his copy and we can talk about it more next week. I'm sure we'll probably beat it by then. I'm getting full spoilers. But yeah, there's so much I want to talk about. Maybe like once you get further, I can talk to you single on Discord outside of the main channel. But yeah, all right. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up for this episode. Thank you for all tuning in and listening. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. And we will see you all next time.
Bye.